Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 74 of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers, and today we're going to be talking about getting ready for baby, the fun edition.
The fun stuff,
because we did an episode once before where we talked about symptoms and, you know,
Childbirth
and postpartum and all, you know, all that. It's still, I guess, fun stuff technically, but
yeah.
Today we're talking about the fluffy things like how to name your baby or how we named our babies and that kind of, you know, nursery decor,
all that fun stuff.
So before that, though, we have a great sponsor who is going to be with us all month. And Sarah, you're going to introduce that sponsor.
Yeah, we're kicking off November. I can't believe it's November already. Goodness. And our sponsor for this month is Mommy Nearest. Mommy Nearest is a mobile app and a website that can give you all the places to go and things to do with your kids and babies all in the palm of your hot little mobile phone holding hand. This is so great. It's all location-based, you know, so you can look up changing tables near me or playgrounds that have a bathroom. All of the things that we wonder about when we're on the go, either last minute or if you're planning an outing. And right now, Mommy Nearest is in 10 major cities and surrounding areas, but they're adding more. So it's also great if you're traveling, like if you're heading somewhere and you want to kind of check ahead for, you know, children's museums, places to go, things to do, and lots of user feedback and comments so that you can see what other moms are saying about these places.
I love that kind of community aspect of it. So you can get like the real mom.
Exactly.
Real mom input. Yeah.
Exactly. And don't we wish this had been around when we were.
I do.
No fair.
Can we go back in time a little bit, you know?
Yeah, really. And it's great. You can save time and money just by kind of knowing where you are and what's around you. Just takes all of the guesswork out of it. And there is also a fun feature with local deals. So I just checked mine for Orange County and found out that kids eat free all month long if they're in costume at Ruby's, which is a fun SoCal diner. So like little things like that, that it's just when we're so busy, it's hard to keep track of all those little things. So the app is really user-friendly, and in a couple of weeks, they're actually going to do a pretty major update. So we'll keep telling you about Mommy Nearest throughout the month, but in the meantime, check them out in the App Store, and also on their website, you can sign up to receive emails and all that other fun stuff.
And we'll link to all that in the show notes for this episode, which is episode 74.
Absolutely.
All right.
Baby stuff.
Babies.
This is kind of fun because neither of us are doing this anymore.
Neither of us have a bun cooking in the oven.
Or any plans to do that ever again.
But it is fun to reminisce about that. And I do remember actually thinking like, there's so much specialness around being pregnant and you're like, there's all this new stuff thrown at you. And I don't literally mean stuff, although that as well.
Right.
But like decisions to make and, you know, things to pick out.
Yep.
And decide. Yep. So,
and
decide. So where should we start?
Well, let's start with kind of chronologically the beginning, which is telling people that you are expecting. And that could be telling your partner or spouse, which is usually the first person if you've like taken a home pregnancy test, and then kind of when and how to tell everybody else. I mean, we should just come out and say that like giant Facebook and social media pregnancy announcements that were elaborate and videotaped were not a thing.
They were not a thing.
So we're going to be a little old school and analog here and just talk about how we actually told our friends and family. But there are some pretty cute things going on nowadays with, you know, revealing a pregnancy. That's just not our experience. So,
yeah. So
did you have with five pregnancies, did you ever develop like a style with this or was it different?
No, I'm trying to think. Okay. So the funny thing is like for the first, I think all of them except for Owen, John actually saw the stick first.
Oh,
because I like couldn't bring myself to look.
I didn't know if that was accidental or on purpose. So you
no, just, like I was just sitting there like, I can't look. And a couple times that was because it was under, you know, in inopportune circumstances. And the other times it was just like, I just couldn't bring myself to look. With Owen, he was out of town. And it was one of those where I really didn't occur to me that I could be pregnant. And then suddenly I was like, wait, I And then I kind of did the mental math and I was like, what? And he was actually coming home a couple days later, but I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I just couldn't wait. So I think I actually was just on the phone with him during that one. But yeah, so, and then telling other people, I have a real hard time sitting on news like that. I do think with Jacob, we probably waited the longest just because we really didn't want to tell anybody, except for our friends. We told them right away. Like, I remember we went out to Denny's. I remember I was drinking like a chocolate or a strawberry milkshake. We took our friends out to Denny's and told them the news. and then like everybody else, I think it was just kind of, I also showed really early with everybody after the first baby.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I was showing immediately. So I didn't always feel like I had much time to work with and wait around. So it was pretty early. I didn't wait till after 12 weeks. Like, as a rule, I know a lot of people do that. I think with me, it was earlier, but I can't really remember. How about you?
Well, you know, the first time we waited to tell, I was working full time, so I wanted to wait to tell work
people. Yeah, yeah.
We found out over Labor Day weekend. We were house sitting for my parents, so we were staying in my parents' house with their dogs and our dog, but they weren't there. So I remember it being really fun to wait. Just, we had about 3 days, just the two of us, and none of our friends were in town, just to kind of sit on the news. And it was our first baby. And then my parents came back from their trip and we got to tell them. And it had just been able to sink in for 2 or 3 days, which I remember feeling was kind of special because just the two of us knew.
Yeah.
And then we did tell my parents right away and we told family right away. But everyone outside immediate family, I feel like I kept it pretty close that first time. And then what's funny is the second time, I like told everybody right away. And I also took the pregnancy test like as early as you can physically take it the second time. The first time I didn't do that because I didn't want it. I wanted a really clear answer and I didn't want it to be, well, you might be, maybe, but it might be too early to show up. So I purposely waited, you know, probably a week past when I could have started taking home pregnancy tests. The second time I was taking them like obsessively every day. So the second time I feel like we told everyone right away. And the third time it was somewhere in the middle. I feel like with the third, I had some close friends go through miscarriage, pregnancy loss early on. And I was just a little more wizened and I kind of like adjusted back to like, okay, well, let's tell our inner circle and wait to make it public knowledge. So I don't know. Yeah. It was a little bit different all three times. And, you know, I think I've heard a lot of people say, and this is true for me, that the people who would have been really supportive had there been an early pregnancy issue or miscarriage are the ones I would have wanted to, those are the ones I would have told early anyway. So it's kind of, you know, it's not, but depending on your work situation, you know, there's lots of reasons to wait. I just was kind of, I was different with all three.
Yeah, I was different. And a lot of it was circumstantial, like you said, and like who was in my immediate circle and who needed to know right away. I will say, I think things have changed a little bit in that, you know, these days you can have your thunder stolen for you. If you try to like, you know, kind of like tease out the news a little bit at a time.
Yes.
It's very easy. Not even, I mean, it could be your nosy aunt or whatever, but could also just be like someone accidentally making a comment, assuming other people know stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think now there's more pressure to like do it in these waves where like everybody who would be in one tier finds out all at once. And it's funny, Clara was the only pregnancy I had where Facebook was even a thing.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. Yeah.
Facebook was there, but really the only, I would say on my Facebook was almost, this was 2008 when I was pregnant with her and then she was born in 2009. So she, so my Facebook was still mostly social media people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think I had a lot of friends on Facebook yet, like real, you know, relatives and, I don't remember that. If that was the case, I don't remember them being active on there. Because when did Facebook get big? Like 2000?
Yeah, I mean
2008.
Yeah, but and it's funny because you were already in the blogging and social media world then. I wasn't. So when I first joined Facebook, I think I was pregnant actually. When I was pregnant for the first time in 2007, when I joined Facebook, but I didn't have blogger friends like you did. I only had real life friends.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling really weirded out by all the people from my past. So I actually, like in the beginning, declined lots connections of, with people that I had truly lost touch with because it felt very weird. Now, again, this is almost 10 years ago. It was just different.
Yeah.
So I befriended people I knew in real life or people that I was still a little bit in touch with. But I remember not wanting people who I literally hadn't heard from in 10 years to be able to see, I don't know, I thought it was weird, which is so funny because now it's so different.
It is so funny. Well, yeah, it would actually be interesting to go back and look at my post from that time and see how many of the people weighing in about that stuff actually were like real life friends, because I don't remember it being a ton, but it could have been. I was actually heavily into Twitter then. Uh-huh. So Twitter would have been the first place I would have gone and talked about it, not Facebook. Just interesting.
Now, I have another question about telling people. Did you ever have pregnancies where you were a little anticipating that the reaction wouldn't be all sunshine and roses from different family?
I mean, all of them.
Okay. I mean, you have a large family.
Yeah. No, all for one reason or another. I mean, the first one's just because I was so young and the circumstances weren't great. We were poor and everything else. And then the last was just because I had so many kids by that point. I really kind of anticipated people would be not super excited about that news. And in some cases I was right. I think most people close to me hit it pretty well if that was their feeling, you know. Maybe they're actually, I think I might have anticipated more negativity than actually was there, which actually I think maybe negatively colored that experience. And I kind of wish I'd gone back and just been a little bit, I wish I'd given, you know, fewer cares. but yeah, for sure. What about you?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe the third people kind of being like, wow, you're going to have your hands full. Just the silly comments. But, you know, we were pretty excited and, you know, people were excited for us. I don't remember. I don't know. Maybe I am thinking when I had the second baby was when I definitely changed my work life and how I had gone back to work part time. Like about a 2/3 schedule after the first baby. And I just remember knowing I didn't want that corporate environment. It was too stressful. The daycare and the getting sick and all I've talked about on this show before, it was really stressful having a toddler and being pregnant and being in that work environment. So I think if anything, telling work people was a little tricky because I feel like we all knew that something was going to need to change, but I don't remember a lot of negativity. So
well, that's good.
Okay, so what about finding out the gender? I don't actually know what you did with this.
I found out with everybody.
You did? Okay.
It's funny. I always kind of assumed I'd have a girl first. And so when I found out Jacob was a boy, that was like a blow. Like that was – I just didn't expect it. I really just thought it would be a girl. And so when he wasn't a girl, then I kind of just thought, well, the next one's going to be a girl. And then I thought, well, certainly the third one's going to be a girl. And then – oh, and I was like, I mean, come on. The fourth one's got to be a girl. And then the problem – and the other thing that was really hard about that is that people around me would get me all – like, be like, oh, this is going to be your girl. I can just feel it. Look at the way you're carrying. It's totally a girl. So, like, I think people thought they were being supportive and fun and, like, getting me excited about having a girl. But really, they were just psyching me out.
Right.
So when I was pregnant with Clara, I put all thoughts of girl, like, out of my head. I thought there's no way this – I am destined to be a mom of boys. And I was actually really excited about the idea of having five boys. I was like, what a cool thing to have five boys. Yeah. It's totally what it's going to be for me. I'm just going to be surrounded by all these little men, blah, blah, blah. And then she was a girl. And that was the one we had all the kids in the – at the ultrasound. And I'm just kind of sitting there watching. And I'm looking at the parts, you know, thinking, well, that doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Because I've now seen four boys on an ultrasound. And I kept thinking like, well, where's the stuff? Like, when are they going to get to that? And it didn't happen. And then she kind of circled. I don't know if you've ever had that happen. Okay. She kind of circled the area. She's like, do you see what I'm seeing? And I was like, I don't see anything.
You're
like, And she's like, well, do you want to know? And I was like, yeah. So she said a girl and everyone was shocked and awed. That was awesome. And that was a fun call to me. I mean, I made many. Many phone calls. And I do remember actually putting that on Facebook because I took the ultrasound picture and then I photoshopped a pink hat on it.
Oh,
and then
really
put that
cute.
as my Facebook status.
You were like ahead of the curve.
I was.
Gender reveal.
I did
like
a gender reveal. Oh my gosh,
way
you're right. Before it was a thing.
That was really
fun. And people were so excited for me because, you know, it had been a long wait. And of course, now people assume I had five kids only to have a girl. And I'm like, you know, having five kids to have a girl is a good way to have five boys. So no, that was not my reasoning. Although, you know, I'm super glad we have her. I'm also really glad I have all those boys. It's just, you feel what you feel at the time. you know.
Now, I'm assuming that those ultrasounds were at that kind of 18 to 20
week. Yeah, they were those mark. The average normal ones.
So I don't know how many pregnant people you know now, but it's becoming more and more common to have a blood test at the kind of, you know, 11, 12 week mark when a lot of people are doing kind of genetic testing or chromosomal, you know, what am I trying to say? Testing.
Yeah.
That you can find out baby's gender with just a super simple blood test that you're doing anyway for some other screening. Screening is the word.
That was not a thing for me.
No, I think it just started to be a thing maybe when I was having Violet about 4 years ago.
But I think the only way you could find out for sure in those days was an amnio. I'm pretty sure that was the only foolproof way to know. I mean, you know, the ultrasound was a guess.
Right. So all of mine were revealed at 18 to 20 week ultrasounds too, but ultrasound technology was getting better and better and better. So what happened to me all three times is that at the, I would have, they did an ultrasound somewhere between 10 and 12 weeks and like a first trimester screen. And and in there, depending on if it was closer to the 12 week mark, they can often give you a good educated guess. And I know I'm not the only one who's gone through this, but they were actually, my ultrasound techs were always really good about saying, if we see anything and we give you our best guess, we're not, they always said, don't paint the nursery at this one. I've heard other people's horror stories where they acted pretty sure, or either that or the mom kind of interpreted as sure. And then they turned out wrong because they were wrong with my first two at the 10 or 11 week place, but I didn't put that much stock in it. So I was kind of okay that they were, I really didn't commit to whatever they said.
Looking back, I would prefer not to have known. At all, than for it to be wrong at that that's a very vulnerable time anyway, and especially if you really are hoping for one gender or another, to be told that it is that, and then to have that not be the case 10 weeks later, I just feel like that would be hard to take.
Were so non-committal. They were like, "I'm just going to tell you what I'm leaning toward." But yeah, I agree.
I would have taken it to heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
but then, then I found out for sure at the kind of 18 to 20 week mark. Yeah. And we did tell everybody the gender. But I've always been kind of fascinated with people who choose to be surprised. Do you have people in your life who don't find out?
I've known a couple people who've chosen not to find out. You know, in retrospect, I think that actually kind of could have been kind of fun for one of them. I actually wrote an essay about this a few years ago. I don't remember where it wound up. I think it's floating around someplace. I should try to uncover it. But about why... like how I kind of came to terms with not having a girl. This I wrote it before I had my girl. But also like how it's so weird to me that we make that like a thing women aren't allowed, like moms aren't allowed to have an opinion about. You know, like all you should care about is that the baby's healthy, and all you should care about is that you have this precious baby. And my thing is always like I just wanted to get any reaction out of the way ahead of time. So like if I was going to feel disappointed, and usually because at that point the baby's just theoretical, you know, you haven't seen it, you don't know it. It's just this thing inside of you that you probably haven't even really started to feel that much yet.
Right.
And then you find out that maybe this idea that you had of what this baby was going to be is not, it's not that baby, it's a different baby. And so for me, there was when it, you know, when I was hoping for a girl and it was a boy, there was always this little moment of like, oh, so this isn't, you know,
what I thought.
This isn't what I thought. And then I would give it a day and get really excited. And then I'd be really happy about the actual baby. But I think this is so normal. And it really bothers me when women are made to feel bad about that. And I've seen a lot of like comment shaming about that kind of thing. And I just, I mean, it's really none of anyone's business how anyone, it's kind of like being pregnant. You know, you can feel ambivalent about the fact that you're pregnant to begin with. It doesn't mean by the time you actually have the baby, you won't be ready and love that specific baby, and you wouldn't be able to imagine your life without that baby. But at that moment, it's like, oh, well, I don't know. That's not what I had planned. So
I think that's so right on.
So I think if I hadn't cared one way or the other at all, like no stock either way, I would have totally not found out with at least one of them. But I always cared.
We just had friends who had their fourth, and their first three are the same ages as my kids, and then they had a fourth, and they part of their little bargain in negotiating whether to have a fourth is the husband had always wanted to be surprised, and the wife did not, but that was part of the deal they struck, so they did not find out with the fourth one, and it was really fun. They're very close friends, and so I've always thought it was fun when other people don't find out. It just wasn't.
Wasn't your thing.
Wasn't my deal.
Was that something? Now, were there other three the same gender or different genders?
They had at least one of each. So they had two, they had girl, boy, girl, just like we do. And then they were pregnant with the fourth, and she was sure it was going to be another boy, kind of to even the pack, but it was a girl. So they know.
Yeah. And I think once you've had one of each, that changes things a little bit, you know, it would be less fraught for me.
Yeah. Had there been a girl in there somewhere. I did have one of each for the first two. And I always kind of felt for my friends who got all the questions like you did about, oh, are you trying for this? Are you hoping for this? What if it's this? You know, it all comes in, you know, with good intentions, but when that's all you hear, it just gets kind of old.
Kind of gets old. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. All right. Should we move on to naming? So I have to say, we have to jump in. Somebody requested that we do an episode on choosing names for our babies and how we chose our kids' names.
Yeah.
But now I can't find it for the life of me. I searched our, you know, last week we did an episode of listener questions. And so this was a listener question from someone that, if you're out there and it was you, thank you. It's a great question. We love talking about baby names, but I don't know who you are. So I love talking about choosing baby names. In fact, I would like to just be like a helper. If anyone wants help naming your baby, I promise to be impartial and I just like talking about it. I just like bouncing ideas off. You know, I think I can appreciate all different kinds of baby names. I just think it's a fun topic. So
yeah.
How did you guys go about it?
Let me think about this for a minute. With the boys, it was easier and harder because there were fewer boy names that I really felt really attached to.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to boy names, I'm really picky. I like them to be really classic and very basic. I don't like unusual spellings in boys' names. I don't know why. I just have this thing about boy names. And so John and I growing up there was this family that we knew and their names were Jacob and Isaac. And we always just liked those names together. So Jacob was on my short list already. And so was a few other names, like Daniel, I think was one. Caleb was very biblical. And I don't even remember how we wound up with Jacob. He came out, we thought we'd call him Jake. We really thought that would be his nickname. And I think that was our first one that we liked. When we saw him, he looked like a Jacob. Mm-hmm. We named him Jake, but we always called him Jakey. And now he goes by Jake with his friends, but I've always called him Jacob. I've never actually called him Jake except every now and then just like, hey, Jake. So that's kind of funny. And then same thing when Isaac was born, we had a few other names like shortlisted, and then it ended up, you know, being Isaac because we liked the way it sounded with Jacob, and he just looked like an Isaac. The funny thing about Jacob was we totally inadvertently chose the most popular name of 1997. It was the first year it went to the top of the list.
Okay.
And then it was the most popular name for like a decade.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know lots that are younger than your Jacob.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. It may still be on the list. It may still be at the top of the list. I don't think it is anymore, but it really held that number one spot. And I would never have chosen knowingly chosen the most popular name, but it was totally, I had no idea. I didn't choose it. I didn't know anyone else named Jacob.
Did that play out? That's exactly how my parents talk about naming me, by the way, which Sarah is the number one name for the year I was born. Number one, top of the list. But that's how my mom describes it too. Like they just thought it was a beautiful name. They'd never met or heard of anybody. Has that played out in because names are so regional, as we know, has that played out in your town? Like, does he actually have a lot of Jacobs in his peer group, or is it more like census data that isn't necessarily particular to his experience?
There's always been at least one other Jacob.
Okay.
Or two. But I wouldn't say it's been a problem. Like, I wouldn't say he's one of those kids that's like Jacob D and Jacob G and Jacob X. I mean, like, no, it's not been like that. He's never had another Jacob in his group of friends. It's just not really been a thing, which is so funny. But there's so many names in the world, right? So he goes to a school with maybe, you know, what if he might have 300 or 400 kids in his class, in his grade.
Right.
But even if 10 of them are Jacobs, which is very unlikely, he's, you know, not going to run across those kids all that often in that many different circumstances. Right. So yeah, it was never a thing. And I don't know if that's because regionally, we should find that regional graphic, that video graphic.
Oh yes. That shows. I have a few resources here in my pocket that I'm going to talk about.
This thing is awesome. Or I'll let you talk about that. Cause that thing is so cool. I love that. And it is funny to see how pockets of the country didn't get on board with certain names.
Yeah.
So anyway, I interrupted myself. William, again, I think Jacob had a little buddy named William. I'd always thought that name was really cute. It kind of ticked all the boxes because it was classic and just kind of very boyish to me. And then Owen was the one where we went a little more, I guess, I mean, it's still a very classic name, but it's just a little more outside the box, I guess, mm-hmm. for boys.
Less biblical, just, maybe. It's not biblical yeah. at all, is it?
Yeah. No, it's not. And neither yeah. it really is. I don't think William is either. I think I was actually thinking like Shakespearean.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any Royal. Williams. There's no Williams I know in the Bible, but if anyone, you know, is any Bible scholars out there are thinking there's like the Book of William, let me know.
I think you're right.
But Owen was just this name I just thought was so sweet. Mm-hmm. It just sounded like a sweet, like a sturdy, like good guy with a sweetness. And that is actually exactly who Owen is. He couldn't be more Owen-y if he tried.
It's a really sweet name.
So for the boys, I felt like there were fewer names to choose from for me, but like picking the name was easy. For Clara, I spent hours researching, hours, because when I was pregnant with Jacob, I assumed if I had a girl, she would be like a Sophie or an Isabel or something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, by the time I was pregnant with Clara, those names had blown up.
Yeah.
So Violet was on my list. John didn't love Violet. Sorry. Okay. I liked the name Nellie. Like, I liked things that were classic sounding, but not super popular. And I think what I actually did was I went to a 1920 census.
Okay.
And I ended up eliminating like the top 10 names because they were all ones that were, you know, all over the place. Like they were everywhere you went. There was a baby with that name. And I considered Isla. Mm-hmm, that was when that actress was getting big. Mm-hmm. and I think we just settled on Clara because it sounded like, again, it's like so old fashioned and sweet and kind of grandma like.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because, you know, Clara's got the cousin Ruby.
Uh-huh.
And my niece Cecily was like, so now you're going to name your daughter Clara, and it's going to be like they're just old grandmas together.
Yeah.
I was like,
but that's what happens with names anyway. Now there's Mabel's and there's
Mabel was another one. I liked Mabel a lot. That was another one. And there was one. Millie was another one that I thought about. It would have been short for Amelia. And I don't remember why I didn't go with Amelia. That was one of the ones that was topping the list. But Clara, she just looked like a Clara. And now she is Clara. And there's really no, she couldn't be more Clara if she tried. So what about you?
In all that, well, just a quick question. In all of this, were you and John pretty aligned? Brian was a big vetoer. I would like come up with all the names. So I liked the research and I could come up with lists and he would just be
on vetoing. John was the worst. I would say a name, he'd go, nope. And I would say, well, do you have anything to contribute? Nope. Yeah. I'd be like, okay. So I did all the work.
Yep. Yeah.
And then get all the rejection.
Yep. No, that was us. That was totally us too. But I
think that's a very common thing, by the way.
I really liked the research part. Mm-hmm. So that part was kind of fun. Actually, Allegra was okay. So Allegra is also an allergy medication, as everyone in the world knows. But that's a little bit of an interesting story. Allegra is also a really old name. It's an Italian name. It means happy. It has all of these.
Yeah.
Like it checked all these boxes.
It's musical, right? I mean,
it's what?
It's musical. Isn't it?
In music, Allegro would mean like lively or upbeat, but it's also just the word means happy or lively. So the musical term comes from the word, if that makes sense, in Italian. Right. And it was kind of in line with a lot of like Olivia, Amelia, a lot of other, like it sounds similar to names that were really trendy at the time, but it was totally not like nobody ever, you know, has that name in her peer group. But Brian totally vetoed. And the whole thing with the Allegra allergy medication was it had been really, really big commercials on TV. Do you remember like, Allegra?
Yes.
And then what happened was that was when it was prescription. And we lived in, you know, in our pre-married years, we lived in Chicago together. We were actually living in Arizona by the time I was pregnant. But that's when, and I had kind of started to poke around and I was like, you know, I don't think I've seen those commercials on anymore. And I discovered that they rarely aired those commercials anymore. You didn't see it in magazines. And so it was a consideration because you don't want to name your kid Chevrolet or something that's like so associated with a brand. But I said, Brian, I think we're kind of safe. Like, I think it's still around, but it's not being advertised.
And I've never made that link, by the way.
Oh, really?
Ever. Yeah, never.
People do, but it's okay. So what happened was it had gone from a prescription medication to a over-the-counter. And so about a year after she was born, the advertising was everywhere again. It was like big. I have pictures of her standing next to like a full-sized Allegra like end display in a grocery store. So, but by that time she was there and we didn't care. So
well, I mean, if you'd named her Claritin, I would have thought that was odd. Claritin. But no, I just know Allegra means so many other things. Like that wouldn't be the first or even 10th thing I would think of. So.
There's also a famous ballerina from like the 60s and 70s that only ballet people would know, but her name's Allegra Kent. So there's other like references. Brian's side is Italian. We like that. So there's like a whole bunch of reasons we liked it, but the allergy medication was a consideration. So that one was fun. I think like with going back to the whole discussing and vetoing and getting aligned with your spouse, Brian just, he did say no to several names. And if I really liked the name, I would just kind of keep putting it in front of him and yeah. he would like warm up to it after a while. He just needed to kind of, I don't know, like have prolonged exposure. So that's what right. happened with Allegra. He wasn't like totally on board at first. I think Violet was the easiest one, that we both just liked right away. And middle names were, I don't know if it was for you, but middle names were always a big part of the conversation for us.
Yeah. So,
like, the first middle combination, Reed's middle name is Michael, which was Brian's dad. And we kind of knew that we would have Michael as a middle name. So we tried everything on with that. And Violet's middle name is Jane, which is my middle name, which is a family name. So I feel like the combination was kind of part of the conversation too.
Yeah.
So, but I do want to mention a couple baby naming resources, which have gotten infinitely better since you and I have had babies, but a couple of them are the same. And one is the Baby Name Wizard, which is a book and a website. And that's one of the ones that, at least in my memory, was using census data and all kinds of really cool ways to present statistics and data with regard to baby names. Because when you, in the old days, when you got a book, it was just an alphabetical list.
Never help me at all.
Yeah, you didn't have the names in context. So right. I could be wrong about whether Baby Name Wizard is the first, but they had an actual book. And in their book, things were grouped by theme. So if you liked, like just like you were talking about, if you liked the Sophias and Olivias but wanted something less common or more, they would group names by type. And they'd get really creative and specific, like, you know, it would be called like Victorian ladies or something. And then it would be like a bunch of, but all based on their research. And then, of course, their website is that much more data driven. And you can look at the popularity of names over time, names that are kind of on the rise. I mean, I don't know. And then the other one yeah. is Nameberry. So the Baby Name Wizard and Nameberry, I will link to both of those websites. And there's like, I don't know, I think it just like satisfies the like part of me that likes data and stats yeah. along with babies. It's like, I could look at this stuff all day. Let me name your babies, people.
Let me name your baby. You mentioned middle names, and I did want to say that like middle names were the one place where we gave a nod to family members. We didn't intentionally name any kids directly after any relatives. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't like I didn't have a problem with that. I have a brother named John. John's a family name, J-O-H-N. And then, you know, mm-hmm. John is a Jonathan, so J-O-N, right. but his dad was a John. And I actually really wanted to have a John, and he was totally against it. So we did end up, our kids' middle names, our Jacob's is Douglas, that was my dad's middle name.
Okay.
Isaac's is Christopher, that's John's brother's middle name. Owen's is James, that's his uncle's middle name, or his uncle's name. William was a weird one. It was Connor because I just liked the name Connor, and I was kind mm-hmm. of irritated. I'd never named a kid Connor, and like it just never. So I just made it was like, okay, there's Connor. It's kind of random. And Clara's is Marie, like my mom's okay. middle name that she went by. So yeah, it was nice. It was a nice way to kind of give a nod without feeling pressure to like use that name.
Yeah, my other favorite thing with middle names, especially boy middle names, because I also like kind of biblical classic boy names, is it's a great way to have a name that you don't want shortened.
Yeah.
So Brian's dad was Michael. I love the full name Michael. I'm not totally crazy about Mike or Mikey, but as a middle name, you get to kind of preserve the full thing. Daniel, yep. James, or William, like any of those where when you see it all written out and you say it, you're not going to nickname the middle name. So if
right.
there's ever a concern about, well, I love the name Daniel, but I don't love Dan or Danny or whatever. And sometimes you do like the nicknames and that's why you go with them. But I love the name Michael as a, you know, the full thing. So
yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. So did you guys tell people your baby's names before they were born? Or did you keep
No. I think we did not. Maybe we did in like one case and then regretted it. So we never did again. I think we might have told people Jacob just what was on our short list.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately we're like, why did we do that? Because everyone right. has an opinion. And right. they're not going to tell you their opinion if you've already named the baby that, you know.
Right.
I did discuss names with like really trusted people that I knew would be on like like Jenna and I discussed mm-hmm. baby names because I knew she would like all of my ideas. So right. it's not like she was going to, you know, go, oh, Clara. Yeah. And then I'd feel funny naming my kid Clara. We kind of like the same kinds of names. So I knew she'd be on board, but I did not go around telling everybody. How right. about you?
Yeah, no, we kept it really tightly locked, even from close family members. I think I got a little lax about that with Violet. I think I was just tired.
Like, whatever, I don't even care.
Like, just kind of like, but even then, it was at the very, very end, we'd kind of just let it slip. But no, we always had fun keeping that secret. So it was sort of like when you know the date, or not the date, although I did, I had scheduled C-sections. I knew the baby's birthday. I knew what gender they were going to be. You know, there's a lot fewer yeah. surprises. So we had fun.
And you had your names all completely locked down ahead of time.
We did quite a bit ahead of time.
Yeah, I didn't with any of them. I always had an alternate.
Do you have any names that you wish, not that you wish any of your kids were named, but like if you could use one more name? I have a few. Like I have a few names that I just love that I'm never going to name a baby, but I want somebody to.
I really still like Nelly a whole lot. I think it's adorable. If you don't think about Nellie Olson, or Nellie the Country Grammar,
I don't know that one.
Hip hop, it's a rap. Nellie the rapper.
Oh, that Nellie. Yeah.
You know, if you want to go and take a ride with me, yeah. that guy. So, I'm sure I have others. You know, there's times I look at Clara and I'm like, oh, she would actually have made a very like a violety Violet to me, even though she's totally different than your Violet. It was kind of like her coloring and everything is always what mm-hmm. I sort of imagined.
Yeah.
A Violet to be. And so that one, although then we'd each have a Violet and that would be confusing. So see, it was faded. It was yeah. faded. I still like all the names I didn't pick. So yeah, if I could have like 20 more kids, I'm sure I'd have a Caleb. I'm sure of it. I'm sure I would have a few different girl names. I think I kind of used up most of the boy names. I felt pretty, you know, pretty attached to.
You had enough boys. Well, Violet would have been Eliza Jane if she wasn't Violet Jane. And I still love the name Eliza.
And Jane is a great middle name too. So that's something that I that was one of my maybes on there as well.
Yeah.
Now I will also tell you that I had two of my kids did not have names for at least 24 hours. In fact, William, if I recall correctly, did not have a name for 3 days.
Okay.
He was baby. And Clara was baby. For Clara, we slept on it.
Yeah. And
it was in the morning that we decided, we're like, okay, we got her name. Because she wasn't born in the hospital, there was a lot less pressure.
Right.
The midwives were kind of like, just let us know when you know and we'll do the birth certificate then.
Yeah, no one was so, knocking. No one
and William, I just couldn't commit. It was like, I knew what I wanted his name to be, but I wanted to just like sit with him for a while before I decided.
Right.
So
right.
Turns out baby works
totally,
pretty well.
Ours were totally locked in. I think I just needed the certainty, but
kept them. Well, it turns out if anyone's in that position, the name baby works perfectly well for a while. You really, everyone knows who you're talking about when you say baby.
Yeah.
It's not like you say, hey, will you bring me the baby? And people are like, what?
Yeah, no, everyone gets it.
Yeah.
Can I just say too, I see a lot of headlines on like popular baby parent blogs now that talk about the names people regret giving their kids, or like the worst name, the worst names of 2015, or the names that parents most regret giving their kids. Like, is that really necessary? I feel like, first of all, who's going to really say, I really regret using that name? Or then if you're planning to name a baby, if you're pregnant, why do you even need to know? I don't know. I just feel like that's negative.
Wait. So people, I'm sorry, I haven't seen this.
Yeah,
you must be running in different circles.
Shared, like, there's one recently that is like the 15 names parents most regret giving their kids.
Oh,
and it's either because it got too popular, or maybe like someone famous
soiled
it. Reputation.
That's so funny. I mean, yeah, like I would never have picked Jacob. Well, you know what? Actually, I take that back. I might have still used it. Maybe I wouldn't have cared.
Right.
Do I regret that that's his name? No. I mean, that's silly.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
he's my Jacob. He's not any other person's Jacob. I still like the name. You know, I mean, the only one I can think of that I would maybe regret is if I'd been part of some kind of crazy religious cult, and I picked a name based on like named him after an alien or something, because I thought maybe he was going to get taken up in a ship. I don't know. I'm just coming like spitballing here. I'm trying to think of a way that I could regret a name. That would be about it.
That's,
like if I was under the influence
a pretty
of a cult
situation.
Yes. Or if I was on like heavy, heavy psychedelic drugs or under the influence of a cult leader. In those cases, maybe. But otherwise, no.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I feel like publishing articles with names that people wish they hadn't named their
kids
somehow just feels not very nice.
It's not nice at all.
The children.
You know, even if I'd named like one of my kids like Nebuchadnezzar or something, there's still, you can work with that.
Yeah.
Ned.
Oh,
or,
that's really funny.
I don't know. There's something you can work with that. So,
well, the last topic we kind of saved for the fun stuff was, I'm just going to call it like nesting and nursery planning and yeah. like any other like fun ways of preparing for baby. Or we can also extend this to like, ways that you've helped friends and sisters-in-law, you know, prepare for baby. So whether it's shower, you know, baby showers, or just like getting the room set up or anything in that genre. So I don't know. Any ideas?
As I think we've discussed before, every time we were pregnant, there was always a situation where like we were going to be moving into a larger space, but not until the baby had been around for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. So I don't actually remember ever having a true nursery, except maybe with Isaac, and that was going to be shared with Jacob. We were in a two-bedroom mm-hmm. place then. But I did decorate it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jacob, we were in a one-bedroom apartment until he was 2 months old. Then we moved into mm-hmm. a bigger place. So right. It's kind of funny. Like, I would always wait a little bit. And no. We always had, like, little nooks because we were co-sleepers. And after the first baby, we kind of figured out that was going to be the deal. So yeah. We would always have, like, a little setup area in our bedroom, which was fun. Like, even if you have not very much room to work with, you know, there's something really fun about just picking out a changing table or putting together the old changing table and picking out maybe like new linens for the bassinet or whatever it is and that kind of stuff. And I remember having like all the little rows of onesies folded up on this little, I don't know, it was like a changing table that has the drawers and all that stuff. And it was pretty enjoyable and I didn't have to paint or put up wallpaper, which was also nice.
Yeah. it's just comforting, I think, to do that. I think we did have enough room for a baby room in with both of the first two. The third time, I think I've talked about it on this show, we put Violet in an extra walk-in closet, and we really did like decorate a closet and put her in there in a pack and play for a few months because I wasn't ready to have the big kids share a room quite yet. But I think every time, what's funny about the way I approached it is I would spend way too much time and energy on certain things and yet completely neglect other functional parts of getting ready for baby. Like I didn't, because I had scheduled C-sections, I never packed a hospital bag. And toward the end, especially like I really should have, because I technically my water could have broken. I could have gone into labor. I was never ready in that regard. I remember realizing with Violet that she was going to be a winter baby in Arizona. And I'd never had a winter baby and I didn't own any socks, like no socks, not a single. And I was just kind of like, I kind of felt like I was ready. And then I'd like line up all the hangers and hang up all the things, but like be completely behind or devoid of other preparation. So I just think it's funny the way that nesting.
Well, and works. Sometimes the stuff you wanted net, like I remember having with the two babies that I cloth diapered, I remember having enormous stacks of cloth diapers that were like lovingly washed and folded because there was something really, like you said, comforting about that.
Yeah.
And then like not having like baby nail clippers.
Yeah.
Which is, turns out it's not a huge deal. You can always send someone to the store.
Right.
24-hour Walgreens. For a pair of baby nail clippers. But it just, you're right. It was like the stuff that was always the warm, cuddly stuff that I really wanted to invest my time in. And I kind of forgot about stuff that, and with every baby, it's not like I didn't know better.
Right.
It's not like I didn't have a million checklists at my disposal too. But I know. That's not what I focused on. It's okay. There's always a 24-hour store, unless you live in the middle of nowhere. Almost anything you need can be gotten.
Yeah. And now there's like Amazon drones.
Yeah. You could probably have socks dropped at your house in 2 hours.
I always wish that the nesting instinct had made me want to clean, but I was never one of those people. You know what it did is made me want to shop. I'm not a shopper and I'm not like a big buyer and consumer of things. In fact, I love hand-me-downs. I get a huge like rush out of reusing, you know, stuff from my previous kid. But right toward the end, when you can't move very fast and you don't want to go anywhere, I would always get a burst of like, it was nesting, but it was basically online shopping nesting. Like just filling my diapers.com or Amazon cart of like things that I was paranoid I was going to forget. And it was that sort of like frenetic energy, only it was going into buying stuff and not cleaning. And I always kind of felt like I needed to apologize to my husband. Like, sorry, I'm not scrubbing, you know, because like that's the cliche is like scrubbing the baseboards with a toothbrush or something. Never kicked in. I never cleaned at the end.
I mean, who wants to get down on their hands and knees and scrub
but
stuff?
But some people do. I know. Organizing binges.
For me, it was like folding and moving things around.
I remember one time I washed all the slipcovers on the couch. That was like the closest I got to like a cleaning, that I just decided they were so gross and they were those washable slipcovers. So at like 9 months pregnant, I'm like in a wrestling match with giant.
Trying to get them on and off. Oh, those are the worst. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, this is not a good idea. And yet I didn't have a hospital bag packed at all, but I decided that washing upholstery was necessary.
But isn't it funny how much like stock we put in something like packing a bag when people have it packed like a month in advance.
Right.
Most people's labors give you some time.
Yeah.
I know that's not always the case, and I'm not advocating being unprepared, but it's just funny that that's one of those things that we focus on, like a must do, as if you couldn't throw some stuff in a bag or again, go home and get stuff later.
That's so
then you're
going
to be hanging around the hospital for days. So it's not like, you know, you're not going to have a chance to get those things. It's just, I think it's funny.
That's true.
Did it too. So even though I went to a birth center, not a hospital, with two of them. And I think even with the home births, I had some kind of basket or something.
Yeah.
With all my stuff in it.
That's so true. Well, this has been really fun. A couple of times in this conversation, I've had a little deja vu. I think we may have touched on some of these topics in episode 38, which was all about our births and childbirths and kind of pregnancy symptoms. So definitely check out that one if you are pregnant or want more on pregnancy. We talked about making our healthcare decisions during pregnancy and our very different birth stories. So that's a fun, very fun complement to this one. And so this has been fun. Definitely go check out Mommy Nearest, our sponsor for the month of November. Find them in the App Store. Just look for the Mommy Nearest app or head to mommynearest.com and you can look up the closest city to you or just sign up to receive their regular emails, which have all kinds of good stuff in them. So
definitely do that. And then let us know when you do, because we want to hear what you think too.
Absolutely. And pregnant people who've been pregnant more recently than we are, let us know how you named your baby and if you did a gender reveal and all that. It's so fun to compare notes. So
you
can
really
email us hello@themomhour.com or just head to themomhour.com and leave a comment on the show notes for episode 74.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Thanks everybody.
See you next week.